Chapter 2 of the book of Daniel. I think it's kind of funny to watch the animals sleeping because time to time they have dreams. And when they have especially dog, when they have a dream, they start to twitch and growl. In a way, it's cute, but when the people have a dream, sometimes it can be downright scary or silly, or it doesn't make any sense. And we wake up in the morning or in the middle of the night. What was that all about? And all night long, some of you, if you're like me, you chase somebody or you're being chased by somebody all night long, you're so tired in the morning when you get up. We are in this one of those chapters in the book of Daniel. Chapter 2, we are finding about the stature. Chapter 7, we're finding about the beast. And chapter 9, about 70 weeks, that all coming from the dreams. And these three of them are the backbone of the prophecy in the Bible. Of course, when Jesus talked about the prophecy, end-time prophecy, in Olivet, known as Olivet Discourse, right before he died, and that he pretty much mentioned about the book of Daniel. So in this case, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And he had a dream that comes from God of heaven. It's about what's going to happen, not about him, not even his lifetime, but after his lifetime, how the Gentiles' kingdom will be changed and to all the way back down to the God's reign after the millennium time. And in the Bible, there you'll find a lot of dreams and interpretations. So what's the difference between dreams, a dream and the visions in the Bible? Well, obviously, the dream is while you're sleeping happening. God speaks to the person's heart, or he even shows himself to the person. Vision is while the person is in awakened state. This one particular night, the King of Kings, King of all kings who never slumber, visited the sleeping king and speak to him in his heart about the future. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to your presence and seeking your will, your way, through your word. Let not man speak, but let the Holy Spirit speak to us. Not as a curiosity about the future or just to fulfill our desire for knowing the future. But know our days, know the future, that you according to your way, that we may glorify your name. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1, now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. His spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then king gave a command to call the magicians, astrologers, sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said to them, I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, note word Aramaic, please. O king, the live forever, tell your servant the dream, and we will give the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your house shall be made in ash heap. This guy doesn't have any temper. However, if you tell me the dream, its interpretation, you shall receive from me gift, rewards, and a great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servant the dream, and we will give its interpretation. The king answered and said, I know for certain that you would gain time because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you, for you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me the interpretation. The Chaldean answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such a thing of any magicians, astrologers, or Chaldeans. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except God, whose dwelling is not in with the flesh. For this reason, the king was very angry and very furious, and gave a command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companion to kill him. King Nebuchadnezzar reigned over the Babylon Empire from the 605 till 562 BC for 43 years. It is hard to say if the king Nebuchadnezzar forgot about the dream, so he cannot remember. Maybe that's why he's asking the people, or because he doesn't want any chance for these people to coming up with some invented interpretation. So king called all these losers of the king's kingdom. You know, he called them 1-900 psychics. So they came up with all the Dions and Eric Estrada, Janet Jackson, all these wackos. They came and they stood in front of him. These people's astrologers and magicians, sorcerers and Chaldeans comprised the brains of the Babylon kingdom. Magicians, the diviner, and they use a chart of the magical design that supposedly answered people's questions. Sorcerers using the black magic to contact the dead people, supposedly contact the dead people to ask them about future things. Problem with that is none of them is true. Chaldeans, what are the Chaldeans? They are the kinds of upper class people. These are the special class people of Babylon, and they are the kinds of spokesperson of these brainy people. These fakers and conmen are really on the spot. They were told to give king the dream and interpretation. As I said before, anyone can come up with some sort of silly interpretation. But no one knows the dream except the king and God who gave that to him. If the dream is correct, as the king said, the interpretation will be correct. In my opinion, this is his, King Nebuchadnezzar's way to testing these people and make sure they are real. It's a nice way to downsizing his expenditure. Last year, people in America alone spent $2 billion in horoscope, fortune-telling, palm reading, psychic, all of that stuff. 1-900 psychic, all of that stuff. Folks, if you are reading horoscope in the newspaper, you are making a big mistake. You are listening to the garbage that comes from the pit of hell. I don't care what kind of horoscope. There's only 12 different kinds in a horoscope, right? So if you're born in 1956 and 1944 and 1968, you all have the same fate in pig's eyes. That's not right. Let me put it this way. If they are really fortune-telling people, if they really know the truth, have any of you have heard the winners of lotto or jackpot are the psychics? Any of you know that any of the psychics won the lotteries or the lotto or make the big in the stock market? If they really don't know, if they know the future, why don't they just make money from stock market? I mean, you can make so much money on the stock market. You know, some silly group of people who made a company and they gave a stock option to his secretary, so on, in 1983. known as Microsoft. The secretary is a millionaire. Close to billions. They had a little stock option piece of paper. If the person knew how to, if the person knows a future, they can really make money on the stock market and the lotto game. But these people, none of these people winning anything like that. If they can even make their income from this, from knowing the future, why anybody wants to ask them question about their own future? It doesn't make sense. These people, they cannot discern God's heart. They don't know the depth of a heart. They cannot communicate with their heart, God. Listen carefully, please. There is a little heaven and hell difference between sovereignty and sorcerers. There is only one person who knows the future. That's not 1-900 psychic. That's God Almighty. From Daniel chapter 2, verse 4, through chapter 7, 28, it's the only portion in the entire Bible written in Aramaic. Aramaic, nobody uses Aramaic nowadays. It's a dead language, just like Latin is. However, during this time, during this known world, Aramaic was the language of the world, just like English is the language of the world for now. I said for now. Remember when Jesus was speaking, what kind of language did he use? Aramaic, not Hebrew. People in Galilee used Aramaic. And people in Jerusalem used Hebrew language. Did they know how to communicate? Of course, they know the languages. To our surprise, in Europe and in the Middle East, it's common for people to know the two to three different languages. In a way, American people are the only one who say, well, if you don't speak English, no, you're not good enough. Wake up, guys. Verse 14. Then with the counsel of the wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to the Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree from the king so urgent? And Arioch made a decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time, that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek the mercy from God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companion might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in night, night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Note that, please. Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and the might are his, and he changed the times and the seasons. He removed the kings and raised up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and the knowledge to those who have understanding. He revealed the deep and the secret things. He knows what is in darkness. Light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's demand. We have to admit that the courage of this man, Daniel, when the executioner came in and busted in through the door, instead of the crying out for the mercy of the executioner, he said, let me talk to king. I will give the interpretation. Let's go to Proverbs. Keep your finger right there in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. Proverbs 28, verse 1. The wicked flee, when no one pursues. But the righteous are bold as lions. When the wicked flee, when no one pursues, because they have a guilty conscience. But the righteous are bold as lions. Daniel's calmness is in crisis showed what kind of man he is. Folks, crisis does not make man. It reveals a man. Somebody said, or somebody who is really wise said, the Christian is like a hot tea bag. We don't know who he is, who she is, until we put him in the hot water. Then we get to see the real color. Note the king gave the Daniel extra time. When he refused to give a time to the Chaldeans and astrologers, sorcerers, and the magicians. Why did he do that? Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. Because he asked God, he's going to ask God, and then they know what to do. This, obviously, King Nebuchadnezzar sensed the wisdom in this young man's heart. James 1:5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. James 1:5. You might want to jot it down and take a look at it later. Let's go to Psalm 25:14. Psalm 25:14. Psalms 25:14. You there yet? The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him. He will show them His covenant. Secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him. Of course, this fear is not being scared. It has everything to do with adore Him and seek His way. Smart thing we can do when we are in trouble is to pray. Don't tell somebody, that's the least I can do. Remember what I said before, that's the best we can do. For example, our example, we have 2 weeks to move out of this facility. We enjoyed this facility for the last couple of years. Now we have to move out. Do we have a place to go? I have no idea. We will continue our service no matter where. If it's somebody's home, if it's my home, that means you have to travel up to the Tucson, wherever that is. We will continue. If Satan tried to stop us from studying his word, he ain't going to get it. It doesn't do any good for us to panic or worry. You know what they say, the worry is like a rocking chair. It doesn't go anywhere, but it gives you something to do. So we worry and panic, and what do we get? Ulcer. But if we have a peace and trust in God, God will guide us. If I were Daniel, when God gives to me that answer, interpretation, and the dream, the first thing I will do is get out of bed and hop in that robe and drive my convertible chariot to the king's palace and say, guess what, King Neb? I have an answer for you. You know what he did? He paused. He stopped. To do what? Praise God. The things we often forget. Stop, give thanks, and pray. Let's go to Daniel, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. We just studied this portion, so you guys are familiar with this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Rejoice always. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything. Did it say for everything? There's a difference. While you're going through trouble, while I'm going through trouble, we didn't have to thank God for the things we go through trouble. But in everything. It does not say for everything. There's a difference, folks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So do we thank God for each day? Do we thank God in everything? Daniel showed praise and adoration back to this Daniel chapter 2 from verse 20 to the verse 23. Daniel chapter 2. I find at least 15 different references Daniel, prophet Daniel is quoting. Genesis, Exodus, 2 Chronicles, and Psalm, and Job, and even Isaiah. He's referring all these books because that means he has working knowledge of the Scripture. And people say, well, God is not speaking to me. And I say, how many verses do you memorize? How many times do you read the Word? None. Well, no wonder why God doesn't speak to you. This is the voice of God. When we say, I don't hear you, that means I don't read you. The Word of God is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And all Scripture is given by the Holy Spirit and inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's good for doctrine, good for reproof. It corrects us, encourages us, it guides us, it heals us. It teaches us. When we refuse to read the Word of God, how can we possibly understand God's heart? We cannot. Let's go to 24 and chapter 2. Therefore, Daniel went to the area to whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation. Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said thus to him, I have no death. I have found the man of the captive of Judah who will make known to the king of the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, wise men, astrologers, magicians, and soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals the secret, and he has made known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the vision of your head upon your bed were this. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this. He who revealed the secret has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living. But for our sakes, who make known the interpretation to the king, that you may know the thoughts of your heart. Arioch tried to get the credit for himself. I have found this man. But Daniel chose to ignore that portion. He simply tell king, it is God who gives a dream. It is God who gives interpretation. He gave a glory to the God and gave a credit to the king, the king of kings. Let's continue in verse 31. O king, your king were watching, and behold a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you. And its form was awesome, and this image's head was fine gold, its chest, arms, and of silver, his belly and the thighs bronze, and his legs of iron, his feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hand, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay, and note where is the location it hit. Feet, not anywhere else. The feet of the iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, clay, the bronze and silver and the gold were crushed together, became like a chaff from the summer threshing floor. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. No trace was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and it filled the whole earth. And this is the dream. By listening to the first sentence of King Nebuchadnezzar's jaw is dropping, and he's in awestruck because no one could tell him about the dream so far. Now, he got the guy who's speaking about the dream. Head is magnificent, and its stature is composed with gold, which is Babylon. We'll go to the interpretation. However, it's stuff from the gold and the silver, bronze, iron, down here, iron, and then partly clay here, partly iron. Notice how house is changed. The value is changing. Really expensive, getting to the clay, nothing. You know what they say, cheapest dirt? Clay is a dirt. Wet dirt, I guess. So value is changing from expensive to dirt. And also, something is changing, the weight. Gold is very heavy. Dirt is not that heavy. I should underline a couple things, note a couple things. No trace of found, no trace of them were found. And also, I ask you to note that the stone that was not cut out without hands struck the feet of iron and clay. We'll go there. Let's continue. Verse 36, second portion of 36. Now that we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are the king, a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you the kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever children of a man dwell, or the beast of the field, and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand, and has made you ruler over them all. You are the head of this head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything like iron that crushes, the kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and the toes, partly potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of iron shall be in it. Just as you saw the iron mixed with the ceramic clay, and as the toes of the feet are partly iron and partly of the clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong, partly fragile. As you saw the iron mixed with the ceramic clay, they shall mingle with the seed of man, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with the clay. And in the days of these kings, God of heaven will set up the kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces, consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that it broke in pieces the iron, bronze, the clay, and silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. This is, remember the smooth stone David used to kill the Goliath. It propelled by the Holy Spirit. This one stone coming out from the mountain, cut without hands, is Jesus Christ. He's bringing down the statue. And as you note the, where the location is down at the feet. That's the period of time. Start with the Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome period, and divided kingdom. This is where we are living, and this is when Christ is going to hit the, make a judgment. Am I making sense to you? And another thing, that if, when after it stone break everything, whole statue, and wind blow, and there's not a one thing left, not a trace left behind. It's not the mountain. It's not coming out from on top, on the base of all the broken pieces. It blew the whole thing away and wiped the slate clean. He started everything brand new. It is no wonder why the Bible says all things passed away and all things become new. He started brand new. So each metal represents a head of gold. Represented different kingdoms. Thank God that God is not leaving the interpretation to anyone to grab, but God is giving us a clear interpretation. Number one, the king, as the Nebuchadnezzar's dream says, head is Babylon. Babylon was the head of gold, and the second one, Medo-Persia. It would followed by the Medo-Persian kingdom in 538 BC, that is breast and arms of silver. Overnight, literally overnight, that this Babylon kingdom was almost impenetrable. However, they were so confident in their defense system, they didn't concern about the Medo-Persia next door. They forgot that the Euphrates River was dried up. It came to the point where they can literally cross over, and in the overnight they destroyed this entire kingdom. 538 BC, not long after the King Nebuchadnezzar died, and Medo-Persia came into the picture. Darius, the king of Medo-Persia, demand all the conquered country to bring contribution to the Medo-Persia in what kind of currency? Silver. The very one King Nebuchadnezzar saw. 330 BC, it came to the Greece by the King Alexander. He conquered known world at that time from India all the way across to the Europe. He even tried to go over the Alps, and the mountain Alps, to conquer the Hannibal. I'm sorry, the other side. Hannibal is a different story. Now, Alexander was doing very well. However, military-wise, he was smart. But in administration, they were very weak. The kingdom was divided by the four generals. So it was inferior. So each kingdom was progressing to the less and less. Note something. This Alexander's military carried a shield made out of what? Bronze. With a bronze image. Hence the bronze image here. Fourth kingdom that mentioned here is Rome, Roman kingdom. Roman military, with the iron weapons, they conquered just about every known world, much farther than Greece. For 1,000 years, they stay strong from the outside, but they were dying, morally decaying inside. Roman government and Roman empire perfected the usage of iron. They are the one who made the iron perfectly. Later, Roman Empire divided into two, East and Western. East, Western and Eastern. Note, from here, dividing into two kingdoms, two legs. Now, Romans' influence is not stopping there. Yes, the Roman Empire is gone, but the Romans' idea of the law, philosophy, and the institution is still existing. What do we have? Congress, Senate, judicial system, superior court, all of that is Roman system. And separation of the executive branch and congregational branch, judicial branch, they're all separate. That's the Roman system. And still existing. After this is the field of iron and clay represent the kingdom of the end time. This is human kingdom. Using democratic government, you know, majority wins, right? I never liked that thing anyway. So how will it end? Stone is not made out of, not cut out of man's hand. Come down and destroy everything. Wipe it clean. That is Jesus Christ. Let's continue in verse 46. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrated before Daniel, and commanded that they should present offering and incense to him. And the king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is God, God of gods, Lord of kings, and revealer of the secret. Since you could tell, you could reveal this secret. Then king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Also Daniel petitioned the king, and he set the Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Daniel was honored and promoted because of his faithfulness to the God. We will face, we will see another, same kinds of kingdom, same kinds of concept in chapter 7, so we will talk more later. However, let's make applications about this study. Number one, God works best in humanly impossible situations and predicament. Sometimes God allows to be pushed to the edge. Not over the edge. Pushed to the edge. And we feel like we are going over the edge. Is it real? Does He give us more than we can bear? Never. It seems like it's at the edge, and it seems like an oncoming train, and you see the light in the other side of the tunnel is oncoming train. And that's when God said, jump, I'll catch you. And He does. We realize afresh new that He is faithful. We can trust Him. What can we do? Where can we go away from Him? Second application, our most effective source of stability is prayer. Some people really think that there is a power in the prayer itself. Does it? Does a prayer have a power itself? Now you don't want to answer that, do you? Since I asked that way. Prayer itself does not have a power. Prayer itself is nothing more than desperate few words and hot breath. Unless it's made to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the controller of the whole universe. Because the one who listens to our prayer is the one who makes a difference. And otherwise, our prayer doesn't mean a thing. Folks, erase the phrase that you used to say, the least I can do is prayer. No, the best you can do is prayer. We start with a prayer, we end with a prayer. In between, we give a praise. Third application, when God works, there is no room for pride, and only praise. What is there things that we can do that better than God? Praise means more than just, and praise and worship more than just coming time before the teaching on Sunday morning or Thursday night. It's more than that. Praise is knowing God, who He is, and what He has done for us. Fourth application, all investment and dreams in the earthly kingdom are temporary at its best. Put your heart in God and His kingdom. You'll never regret it. Let's stand up and pray.